Hello there again. If you are listening to this podcast sequentially and you listened to the last podcast, you'll remember that I mentioned we recorded, I said we recorded like a little kitty cat. We recorded two episodes of this podcast before Disneyland opened, and then we sat on those two episodes until now. So this is the second episode that we recorded before Disneyland opened, and we're now releasing it to you guys. So just wanted to say that disclaimer. And if you haven't been listening to this podcast sequentially, I feel like you just got caught up. Anyways, I'll stop blabbing. Let's get into this episode of The Saddest Podcast on Earth.
Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Yes, yes,
remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
All righty. I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to The Saddest Podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is animatronics. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering animatronics in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure. Second, we're talking about animatronics with specificity, so there could easily be several animatronics within one ride on this list. Third, we miss Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And fourth, since I, much like many, have not been on Rise of the Resistance yet, it is disqualified from consideration for this list. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by Byron Marin and Amanda Pham, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000 plus visits to the park. All that being said, animatronics. Another hard one that doesn't seem like it would be that hard at first glance for me personally.
I got a little teary-eyed building this one.
About animatronics?
Yeah, dude, because you're going through the rides. I basically like walked myself through every ride.
I see.
To make sure I didn't like miss any like side characters.
So this topic in particular really tickled your brain box.
Yeah, I think so. That's why you're probably mad at my list.
I mean, look, as usual, there is almost no uniformity to any of our lists here. It's all over the place. And as such, we've created, in my opinion, one of the worst lists that we've ever had on this show. It's an abomination. I'm looking at it right now, and I can't believe we have to announce these. It's a... All right, Byron, what do you have here?
Here's the thing. A lot of the ones that I look back like very fondly on, like just like nostalgic base as a kid, is like a lot of them like are not the type of ones that I felt like I could put on this list.
That's fair. Yeah, I had the same kind of struggle because a lot of the nostalgia baked ones.
It's like I still respect them,
yes.
But there's just so many more that are like way better now.
They're not fluid. They're not,
yeah, they're not
cutting edge.
They maybe have a look, but like there's not much functionality to them.
Yeah. There's never a thought in my mind looking at most of the ones you're referring to where I'm like, that's a human right there. Like, I'm never fooled. There are a couple on this list where I'm like, one in particular where I thought it was a person, but we'll get to that when we get to it. All right, let's just jump right into it. So pretty nice that we only have one tie here. So we have a top three, and then we have a two-way tie for number four. So we have five on this list here. Let's start with 4B. 4B, coming in hot, is Rocket the Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy elevator.
What? Of course I escaped. For those of you who have not been paying attention, the name's Rocket, one of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the smart one.
Ha! Who would have put that?
And, Amanda, this was not on your list. And Byron, it was not on your list.
Wow.
It was on my list.
I thought it was you.
I almost put it on.
I have it. Shamefully.
I had it as my like as an honorable mention.
I thought you would make fun of me for putting it
on this. I made fun of myself in my brain for putting this on the list. And this is shamefully at number two for me. And the reason being, I thought it was the most creative animatronic I'd seen in the park in a long time. I consider even him taking the little... what do you call it? The little Walkman part of the animatronic at the end of the pre-show for Guardians of the Galaxy. Him walking around, one of the few animatronics in the Disneyland Resort that actually is in motion in terms of walking. I think it might be the only one now that I think about it. Like, you can't see the feet moving, but it's a simulated walk, and it's very, you buy it because you could see the actual shoulders moving up and down in a gait that would be similar to a walk. And it's also just, it has the most character of most of the animatronics in the park. I totally buy that it's Rocket. And I was delighted to see it, even as much as I wanted to hate this ride when I first
went on. You're like attached to the character there in that scene.
I am. I really, truly believe Rocket is giving us a spiel about how we're going to break out the rest of the gang.
I'd argue the audio is not as great as it could have been. Matching with the
That's fair. Yeah,
the animatronic.
Oh, like the
but
sync?
That's hard. Like, I'm not gonna. Yeah. Like, I understand why you put it on there because it is fucking awesome.
It's great,
and it's like an animatronic based on like a basically a CG character.
Yeah, which is tough to do.
So it's like making it actually lifelike.
Yeah, you're adding the fur. You're
something that was kind of more like animated.
That's fair. I didn't even think about that wrinkle, but it's just hilarious to have it on a Disneyland top five animatronics list is Rocket the Raccoon.
Hey, I almost had it. It was an honorable mention.
Anyways, let's move on to 4A. Once again, these 4A and 4B, not in any particular order. This is just how it was on my notes app. 4A is Murphy the Dragon from Fantasmic. I wasn't even aware that Murphy was the dragon's name, and I gotta say, I did not have this on my list, nor did Amanda. Byron had this at number two. Kudos to Byron. I did not think about this
one. I'm like mad now.
I was upset that I did not put this one on. Actually, as I saw it, I actually audibly went, "Ooh, that's good." Yeah. That's good.
Great job.
what can I say? It's a 45-foot dragon, and it is an animatronic.
And it's cool. It's spectacular when it's working.
You can't miss it.
When it's not on fire.
It's this dragon has had plenty of public blunders. When it shut down that one show where it just kind of like bows its head, fucking horrifying. It's like one of the scariest YouTube videos I've ever seen. Because for a second, it feels like the dragon is like gaining sentience. And you're like, oh my God, is this dragon about to torch the entire audience? But no, it's an impressive animatronic. Especially when you compare it to its predecessor, which was just a giant head with on a stick, essentially.
Still fucking awesome.
Still pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Byron, you want to say anything more about this dragon?
Yeah, it's a big-ass dragon.
It's a big-ass dragon.
It's scary. Mickey has to take it down. It was scary as a kid.
It's scary now.
Yeah, it's still very impressive.
If this dragon is, like, active and on, like, in show mode, you can't pay me enough money to walk next to it. I'm not getting near this dragon. I know it's an animatronic. I could intellectualize that this is clearly a robot that has programmed motions. I'm not standing near this thing, man. It's not going to happen. It's too scary looking, and it has fire that comes out of its mouth. You know, it's one malfunction away from toast in my little ass. So it's just a scary looking animatronic. It's very imposing. And I often think about that when I'm walking around Tom Sawyer, that there's a fucking enormous dragon just below my feet.
Do you know, apparently it gets its name or the nickname of Murphy because of Murphy's Law.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because of all the malfunctions it's had.
That's great.
But when it's working, it's
great. Amazing. That's like Spielberg naming the shark from Jaws Bruce after his lawyer. just a painful experience of dealing with his lawyer. all right. Let's move on to number three here. Now we're getting into Cartoon Land here. Number three is The Prisoner Pirates and the Dog.
Here, doggy. Nice doggy.
Belay that talk. We want the keys, not the mud, you swab.
Fuck yeah.
And as you could tell from Amanda's response, she was the only person who listed this animatronic.
And that was my number one.
That's her number one choice.
And not for advancement, not for anything, except the fact that that got me as a kid.
She wanted to make sure that this had no chance of missing the list.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I applaud it.
Do you?
You could frame that shit.
Bro,
yeah.
That is literally, when I was little, I thought that was a dog. And I thought, like, that scene was just, like, in my brain for that ride. And that's because of this kind of subtle
It's a
movements.
Few animatronics, to that's be fair. Fair. But that little set piece there, that, you know.
I'm going to remember this moment when I have kids. And I'm going to take them to the park when they're 3 years old. How old were you when this dog first fooled you, Amanda?
I'm sure, like, 2, 3, yeah.
Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's call it even 2. Well, 2 you probably can't talk. Let's say 3. 3. When my kid is 3 years old, I'm going to take him to the park, and I'm going to study his or her face when they watch this dog, and I want to see if they think it's an actual
okay,
dog.
Okay, to be fair, when you have a child, they're going to be stimulated by cooler shit.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it holds up well.
Yeah, this was definitely nostalgia-driven.
But what's going on in the scene?
I have no idea how it even fits, but they put it into the movie even, and it had nothing to do with the story.
It tells a story.
Yeah.
It does tell a story. It's an iconic.
It's so simple, and yet it does so much.
It's an iconic diorama. I'll say that.
I'm doing what I can, Amanda.
It's one of the things you do think of when you think of the park, but by all means, I think it's more impressive as a story element, and I don't think it's impressive in terms of animatronics. Like they're not the most fluid.
Fair.
Like that dog's head is like fucking, you know, it's jittering.
It's so like subtle. I don't know. For some reason, when we said animatronics, we're going to build a list. That's like the first one I thought of.
That's fair.
Yeah, I didn't think of it.
I didn't think of it either.
I kind of feel bad.
But you're right. It wasn't that special.
It's not a great animatronic.
If you're going to do a pirate's animatronic, you're not going to say that one.
No, you're going to probably pick Jack or something like
that.
All right. Let's move to number 2 and buckle up. These get worse. We have the Mater animatronic from Radiator Springs Racers.
Howdy! Here for the big race, huh? It's gonna be fun!
What?
But you guys, that's actually an impressive advancement.
I had this at number 3.
Okay, great.
Amanda had it at number 2. Byron did not have it on his list.
No.
It really, to have Rocket the Raccoon at my number 2 and Mater at number 3... I questioned whether or not I should quit the show because of the embarrassment that I felt from just the idea that I would put those in a top 3 list. They don't feel Disney at all to me. I hate Mater with all my heart. He's got to be top 5, one of my least favorite characters ever conceived in any kind of medium. He annoys me. I find him particularly grating in the second film. Maybe that's Pixar right now coming to take me away on a helicopter because I'm beating up their boy.
Mean you don't like Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy. I mean, look, Larry the Cable Guy doesn't even sound like Larry the Cable Guy. You know that, right? That's a voice he's putting on. He sounds like a normal dude.
I've never looked into Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, he's just a normal guy that decided one day to just be like, get her done. And then like, I can't take it. I'm not taking anything away from him. Like, he obviously made a lot of money on this, and people seem to like him. But I wouldn't be caught dead being Mater's best friend.
Can I tell you, though, I put it on my list pretty high because, like, I was an intern for Disney at the time.
Yeah.
And that's when they were building it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They showed me, like, the skin, like, underneath the skin.
Yeah.
And the foam and, like, the technology of making his mouth move pretty perfectly.
Yeah.
It's fucking impressive.
They showed you what that mouth do?
Yeah, they did.
It's gonna be fun.
It is just so cool. And I don't think I can think of a smoother.
No, I can't either. And
animatronic.
I will say that clearly I'm sipping the haterade here. I hate this character, but I can't let that fog my vision when it comes to appreciating how fluid and incredible this animatronic is. It's the only animatronic in that entire ride. Oh, actually, no, wait. What the hell is the Doc Doc is the name
same technology.
He has the same mouth that moves, which I always wondered. I wish they could have figured that out for Lightning McQueen, because it looks amazing on this Mater animatronic.
This is just like a
projection, yeah. But the Mater animatronic is incredible, particularly the one that's in the tractor tipping scene that like moves backwards and forwards and then like flips over. I mean, it is a feat of engineering.
That's two of them though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Because it goes behind the bushes to, yeah.
But they could fool you into thinking it's one. And they both use the same kind of tech. So it's an impressive animatronic. Shame that they wasted it on that waste of a character. But what are you going to do?
It's a
fun ride scene. Wow. I really just got into bed with the enemy here.
I thought about putting it on the list, but then I moved along with my life.
Yeah.
See, you can't let your biases with the ride fog your
And I didn't. In a way, I'm proud of myself, but also hate myself simultaneously. That's an interesting dichotomy there. We're going to move to number one so we don't have to talk about Mater anymore.
Wow, already a number one.
Well, we're flying through this bad boy now.
All right.
Number one, and this is, I mean, I expected this to be the number one. It was number one for both Byron and I, suspiciously absent from Amanda's list, and this is... Hondo Onaka from Smuggler's Run.
Hello, hello, my friends. I am Hondo Onaka, and this is Onaka Transport Solutions.
For starters, we all experienced this together, I believe, for the first time.
That is true.
No, we all were freaking out that the guy was like, we were questioning if that was a real person or not.
There was a legit 5-minute conversation between the three of us. We went on opening day. And we legitimately thought this was an actor. We thought this was a performer. And we had a 5-minute debate of whether or not, is that an animatronic or is that a person? And I actually think I concluded that's got to be a person, because I've never seen an animatronic move so fluidly.
Because we were like toward the back of the room, too. So it was, I think I switched back like 5 times. Like, it's an actor. Oh, they have like an actor doing this. That's interesting. Oh, no, wait.
That's a first for me. That's never happened to me before in any theme park. It's the only time that's ever happened where I legitimately got fooled. And upon close inspection, that's another thing, too. When you see impressive animatronics in a ride, you're often in a vehicle. So you get like a close look, but you're quick. It's a quick look. So you don't really get a good look at it. And you get the loading time of like after, like, oh, that was impressive. I could see how that would fool somebody. This animatronic is in the pre-show. You're literally standing still in a waiting room, and you're just looking at this animatronic. And still with that level of inspection, I was fooled by this animatronic, which is incredible. The fluidity of the motion.
Those hands.
Yeah, the hands. Even the mouth looked real. It looked like an actor wearing a prosthetic. It's crazy.
This is supposedly the second most advanced animatronic in the world.
What's the first most?
The one at on the Navi River Journey.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
The Avatar one.
Pretty good, too. But, I mean, there was never any point where I'm like, that's a real person, because it's a fucking Navi. It's a 7-foot humanoid. But this thing is incredible. I think if we got one thing right, it's putting this at number one. It's not the most, it's not obviously the most inspired animatronic. It's not, featuring a character that we all love that's a very beloved character, but it's incredible.
I think that's why I knew you guys would put it on there, but I also wanted to talk about the ones I put on in terms of like a character. This one was not like,
look, you justify it however you want over there. Okay. This Amanda right now is feeling a lot like that person in the group project who knows the other people are going to put in the work, and they're like, I'll just show up to class and I'll just stand there and nod, get my A.
Work smart, not hard. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. You know, I guess that's what you did. Let's move to the honorable mentions here, though. Let's start with Amanda first, and then work our way back around.
Damn.
Oh, by the way, honorable mentions, for those that don't know, that's things that made what in the world am I trying to say? Those are things that were on our personal lists that did not make the main list that we took exception to. And with that, Amanda, let's kick it off with you.
How many can I list?
Let's stick with one.
Okay.
We're on a time budget here.
Okay. This one's a stupid one, but I don't care. I put the goat in Big Thunder as number three.
Yeah, she had that at number three on her list. the goat from Dick Thunder.
I think it's a fucking awesome one. I thought you guys would give me props for
well,
that
the thing is, like, you clearly made your list based off of, like, what were the most iconic and nostalgic, as opposed to, like, what were the most impressive and advanced, which is a different way to look at the list, to be fair.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. And that when you look at it through that lens, I could see why the goat would be high.
Would your list be different?
If I was going through that
criteria,
I think I'd have the goat maybe in the top five, off the top of my head,
just off nostalgia and
yeah, like what are the most iconic animatronics? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be up there.
Nice.
I'd have to think about it, but that makes sense. That's a good honorable mention. You know, it's associated also with a very fun trick you could do while riding Big Thunder, the whole goat trick. You know, looking at the goat continuously while you go around the turn gives you this kind of like G effect, which is really cool.
You really feel those laterals.
It's amazing. Anyways, let's move to Byron then for his honorable. That's a good pick when you look at it through that count
criteria.
All right,
I'm going to pluck one from my top five, I guess. I'm going to go with the OG Lincoln. Actually, it's not the OG.
This
but
guy
it
in
is,
Lincoln.
It is, the game changer.
He loves Lincoln.
The best animatronic to fall asleep to.
I was surprised that it wasn't on your list.
I thought it was going to be on.
It,
I mean, it was on
my
list.
It was number three.
It was number three. Just
oh,
didn't make
yeah.
it.
Oh, shit.
Thank God. Thank God.
Hey, you know what? It still looks like a pretty decent animatronic. They have updated it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, and that was kind of a game changer. So.
Yeah. It's fair. It was very lifelike.
It's just so boring.
At a time. It is.
It's just so boring.
It's a very oatmeal-y pick.
It's a human. It's a human being. And I like jumping back into the, you know.
Into the time machine.
Yeah. The early Walt days of Imagineering.
Let's move to mine here. This was actually also on Amanda's list at number five. It's on number four for me. Harold 2.0, which is the new... Abominable Snowman. Look, he's not as cool looking as the original Harold. I think the original Harold looked much cooler because it looked like an actual monster, whereas this one looks cartoony, like a toon version of that snowman. But the advanced technology of this animatronic is undeniable. The motions are very fluid. It actually cranes out at you and swings its arms at you as you pass it. The face has very good expression to it. It's a very, very impressive animatronic.
It's scarier.
And you could still... I think in it, like the motion of it's scarier. The sound effect, I don't find as... that original, like, scream.
It's so much better.
You mean
from
the
original
beginning?
That echoes through while you're passing it?
Yeah.
I remember that scared the shit. I mean, all you needed was those red eyes, and that did the trick.
Yeah, that monster scared me as a kid.
Yeah.
The original Harold.
Like, I wanted to close my eyes every time. Where I'm like, oh, here it comes.
The stomps, though, are pretty fucking scary.
Oh, right? when you're, before you see it, it's like it's stomping over you and around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it makes these weird grunts.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the face, though. The face, like, look, I get the criticism that this animatronic has garnered because it's deserved. It's not the best design, but the execution of the shitty design is incredible. And that's undeniable. Which is like, clearly that's how I viewed this list, which was like, what were the most badass advanced animatronics, so it is interesting that we had different views on this. That's
because I think it'll still
texture.
Scare kids.
Yeah.
So I don't think they succeeded in like taming it down.
Yeah.
Because it looks more lifelike now, in a way, with the motion at least.
Yeah.
But then again, so it's still not it's not tame enough to not scare kids. Yet it's cartoony enough
to
look a little silly for adults.
Well, could you imagine if they applied this same technology to the original Harold, how scary that animatronic
would be?
It'd be
amazing.
You could find the
original Harold is at Guardians.
It
now,
is. It's
right?
in the it's in the boiler room. But if you actually gave it the facial animation and the swinging arms, that would be a horrifying
animatronic. Oh, I'd put my pants down.
It's the only other animatronic that's more scary that always scares me is the fucking dinosaur in Dinosaur.
The T-Rex.
What the hell is it called?
The baddie.
The carnivorous or whatever. That giant-ass dinosaur that walks towards you is so unnecessary. Like, it doesn't need to be that horrifying. It's fucking so damn scary. I hate that ride just for that reason. I loved it, but it's the only ride where I kind of don't want to look at the animatronic.
It's Indiana Jones.
It's too scary, man.
Oh, the snake. The snake is really scary.
The snake actually was on. Let's get to my honorable mention here. Snake almost made it, but my honorable mention. Oh no, we did mine. It was Harold.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
See, there's so many to mention.
Let's move on to dishonorables, though. And once again, I always forget to do this. So this is the one thing that we think is the worst animatronic in the
park.
There's
also so many to pick from.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a couple doozies in this park that are.
One of them's defunct now, as of like a few weeks ago. But as a proper send-off, that witch in Snow White.
Yeah.
That spins around and enters your nightmares. In a way, I almost have a level of respect for it because...
It doesn't do shit, but it's so scary.
Yeah. The mirror scene, and it spins like... And that was for whatever reason because you didn't... Like, parents didn't know. They'd take their kids on this thing. And it was terrifying.
It's a scary-ass ride.
It's a scary-ass ride, but they have now given it a facelift, and now it is called Snow White's Enchanted Wish. I have mixed feelings. I guess it's the right move, but it's also... I did like the occasional, let's just go do something a little spooky. Because I still found it to be spooky, even going on it as an adult. But
that's interesting. So you went from, like, not even what's the worst functioning animatronic, just the one you just don't like that much. Because, like, if we're going by, like, worst... If we're going by the one I don't like that much, I hate that animatronic. It's an animatronic, right, of the judge that sends you to hell at the end of Mr. Toad? I hate that animatronic. I don't think it is.
I don't
is.
Think
no.
it moves, though.
No, it's a cardboard cutout. Okay, so let's move to mine here.
How about that gopher you hate so much? Is that technically an animatronic?
I was
going to
say.
That's true. I do hate that fucking gopher with all my heart. God, he just used to mock me so much as a child.
You hate the sound more than the gopher.
I hate the sound more than I hate the actual gopher, though, so I don't know if that's fair. Here's an animatronic that I think is actually a good animatronic, but is
I got one.
But it's never good.
I got it. The here's a dishonorable. The hazmat suit guys in the ride, the Monsters Inc. Because they're basically just tossed over Superstar Limo.
That's kind of genius, no?
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but still dishonorable.
It's pretty bad.
By the way, I think we shat the bed, not including Ursula, like anywhere. Well, actually,
no, she said Ariel was on my dishonorable.
Well, Ursula's head fell off, so.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
That's a really bad
Ariel
one.
Is a good choice because.
Oh, the ice cream hair?
It's so trash.
Not just that. I don't know why. Okay. Do you have any other reasons why Ariel is...
It just doesn't look like... that's like probably the worst animatronic they ever... They like gave up because she doesn't look like she's swimming. And it's like her hair is really bulky.
I can't... Because you know that like she's moving around with that... Because there's a piece connected to the coral behind her. But it just looks like she's like scratching her ass on the coral.
Yes.
It does look like that. It does... It's a very weird ride overall.
Yeah.
But... Well, considering that, I almost want
to... I ride it way too much.
I almost want... I'm sure you do.
Because it's hot and...
Oh, it's hot?
Just kidding. There's never a line.
Just seeing her, like, scratch her ass on that coral.
So every time I'm just, like, exhausted at California Adventure, all right, you caught me. What can I say? Yeah,
Byron only boards the clam vehicle by himself. Just it's a solo ride for Byron every time he's on the Ariel's undersea adventure.
Interesting.
All right. She gets me to dive in. What
interesting.
I will say it's tempting to list any of those animatronics, but I still think the worst animatronic in the park is the Jack Sparrow animatronic at
I
the
100%
end of Pirates.
Agree.
Now, here's the thing. When it's in pristine form, it's a very impressive animatronic. However, it is never in pristine form. It is almost always having the skin peeling off the face. The fucking, it's like glitching. It's, for whatever reason, I think that was like their first attempt at a very fluid animatronic, and they just could never keep it up. They could never maintain the realism of that animatronic. It just always fell to shit, almost instantly.
Real fall from grace.
Yeah, it's, and I remember seeing it for the first time, and I was like, that's impressive.
Because I actually have it. I had it as number 5.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was me, like, oh, yeah, Jack Sparrow's got to be way up there. And then, like, I'm like, like, actually, I don't think I remember it being that good the last couple times.
No, I mean, specific Jack Sparrows are okay. Like,
yeah,
like,
but the last one. I'm talking about the one that's on the throne.
That
that's
one's
like,
trash,
that's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, he's rocking the chair, which is impressive. But now the movement's all kind of, like, wonky, and the skin keeps falling off. It's
he's
like,
not talking.
It's creepy. It looks makes me look like, I feel like I'm watching a Terminator. I don't like it.
Kind of makes you think, like, wow, we lost the people trying to haul the treasure up.
For this?
Yeah.
I mean, just keep, like, upkeep your animatronics.
Right.
There must be something about the motion must be too fluid for that particular model, and they didn't have the tech yet. Because there's more fluid models now, you know, like Honda or Hondo. But this Jack Sparrow one, I think it was just, you know, Mark One, and they just were figuring things out, and then they didn't upgrade it.
I just always see his wrist.
Yeah.
His metal.
His metal wrist. Metal I always wrist. See the metal under his lips. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. I'll look out for it next time.
Yeah.
It's rough. Anyways, well, that was a quick one. That was a quick pod that we got there. That was only a 30-minute little taster right there. Any last words on animatronics?
Oh.
We can mention so many. Just like quickly.
Yeah. Do we just start rapid firing like Buzz Lightyear?
Buzz Lightyear is good. You know, we could fire off some honorable mentions here.
Projection mapping.
Oh, the stormtrooper in the Star Trader.
The stormtrooper.
You know, up top,
the Star
there's
Trader.
Like a moving stormtrooper. No one notices.
Oh, I've never noticed that.
Yeah, it's like only one of it. It's pretty creepy. It's kind of like
interesting.
I can't really mention it, but the
one in what's that shop in Galaxy's Edge?
Oh.
With all the cool toys and shit.
Market, the black market. Area?
Yeah, but there's that like
that
alien looking
cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's pretty cool.
That's scary.
Somebody hit us up on the Instagram in the comments somewhere.
On the Instagram. Jack Skellington in the graveyard is an amazing animatronic
with
Zero.
Good.
Really,
Even
really
Oogie
fluid.
Oogie Boogie's pretty decent.
Oogie Boogie's amazing.
Ooh, Zero's yeah.
Ursula's amazing when her head's not falling off. The Hatbox Ghost is also really cool. It's not so much for the fluidity of the motion, but just the actual effect of the head transferring into the hatbox. The big-ass snake in Indiana Jones scarred me as a child. Thing is fucking horrifying.
Spooky. Indiana Jones himself,
it's
a
great.
Little bit.
My favorite. What's your favorite indie animatronic?
When he's exhausted at the end.
That one's fun. I do really enjoy the one where he's just like trying to keep the doors closed.
He doesn't look as good anymore, I think, in that.
No,
one,
right now it just kind of looks like he's taking a shit in a hallway.
Oh, quick. Swerve left.
You had to look, didn't you?
And it's like they still like, I don't know, it was really convincing as a kid, but now it just looks like a blanket that has a light behind it, like in a, and a fan blowing.
Yeah.
In that creak of the door.
Also, Indy on the rope.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's the best.
Yeah.
It's great.
No one mentioned the tiki birds.
That's in the realm of
nostalgia.
OG. That is OG, I think.
True OG.
Because
that's
they
like,
were thinking about putting real birds, and like, that would not make sense. They'll shit over everyone.
Yeah, that's true. They poop a lot. And then you have your fun little tiki guys that are drumming in on the top. Good stuff. Pretty basic animatronics there. I'm trying to think if there's any ones that are...
C-3PO.
So that was on my list.
C-3PO is great.
Rex now at the... Oga's Cantina.
Also amazing, iconic.
I will not list them, but there's an attraction that has some good animatronics.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Quite a few.
We'll just leave it at that. Mr. Potato Head's also really fun in front
of
a Midway Mania.
But it doesn't put the ear back, right? It stopped putting the ear back?
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's incredible, though, that it has that function.
I think it stopped
doing
that.
Where it takes an ear off and puts it back on.
Because it kept dropping the ear. They couldn't get... Which is like, it's just insane that they actually got it to go grab an ear.
Well, maybe they'll hear us out and put that back there.
Yeah, because we have so much influence.
Oh, the Evil Queen.
Evil Queen. Oh yeah, in the facade of the ride that's in that you can see her peeking out the window really creepily.
Ooh,
very good.
That's good.
Well, I think we ripped through a lot of them there. I think that's that. I think that closes out this episode. Make sure you follow us on our social media. At SaddestPod on Twitter and Instagram, where Amanda's doing her darndest to keep posting things, even though our posting schedule leaves a lot to be desired. We never know when we're going to record this podcast, and such is the spice of life. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.